It's hard to believe that December of this year is already upon us. It seems like that we just started this year, and before long I'll have to begin scratching out on documents and checks and stuff the 2014 and put 2015. But it's kind of evident that we are into December because of people's attire. Mine particularly, and I see some of the ladies have on festive sweaters. This time of year, I'm inclined to wear what some deem as Christmas ties. Also this time of year, there's something else that's on people's minds. That's profit. It seems to be on a lot of folks' minds, especially this time of year. A few weeks ago, some of you suffered through what is termed as Black Friday. Cyber Monday was this past Monday. This year, they did something a little different. I saw ads for Cyber Tuesday and Cyber Wednesday. And the whole focus was profit. It's quite interesting to me that the definition of profit listed first is excess income over expenditure. And businesses must indeed keep their eyes on the bottom line. They must look at the expenditures throughout the year and the monies that are coming in, and to make sure that the monies that are coming in exceed that which is going out so that they might realize some profit. Now, because of the great many of festive holiday ties that I have, I did not contribute to their profit this year, so I will be wearing the same old ties. But another definition, the verb definition of profit is benefit from something. And all too often people look at the excess income over expenditure definition before they look at the benefit from something. And this is indeed part of the problem. Now, when we look at money profit, we sometimes fail to see the benefit profit of things and situations. It is absolutely necessary that businesses look at profit, the money side of it, but they also need to look at the benefit part of it. The idea of the world when it comes to profit is expressed in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 14, which is the final book of the Old Testament, which was written to the children of Israel to once more call them back to serving God. We have the words by the writer there. Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? You know, when we come before God, it doesn't matter if it's December or Juvember. I know that's not a month. But it doesn't matter which month we come before God. We must realize that there is profit to be had. Job brings to our minds the idea of profit in Job chapter 21 and verse 15 in speaking of the wicked, the idea that the wicked has regarding serving God. And it is well known how the world thinks profit is defined. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? And while we are aware of profit and profit margins and the desire of people to make profit and the need for there to be profit, we also need to be aware of the second definition I gave and realize that there is profit in being a Christian. I want to look at a few things this morning and help us understand the type of profit and the attitude that we have toward profit and the kind of profit that we should be looking for in serving God. So let's look first the profit of serving God. And as you turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we'll see that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Roman brethren there, writes something that would be recorded, something that would be retained throughout time, so that we would have it also, so we might also understand the things that he was saying to the Roman brethren, which also applies to us. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And had he stopped right there, it still would have been poignant. But notice the words that he put on the end of it as he was directed by the Spirit, which is your reasonable service. Far too many Christians look at their service to God as a burden, as something that is taking away from their time. Indeed, it's what makes time profitable for a child of God. Even during the babyhood of the church, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, that which was given in the absence of the written word was for the profit of the servants of God. We all know that the church existed before God's New Testament law was written. And as it existed, the Spirit was given to them. These spiritual gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit, so that they would have it. But it was for their own profit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What if God would have said, here's the plan. Now the book, the instructions, are in process. In the meantime, just kind of get along as best you can. Why, the world would have become much as it is today in short order. People believing what they want to, following what they want to, not realizing the damage that they're doing. But he gave them these things, the manifestation of the Spirit, to profit withal. And it's the benefit that we see because we have those people in that day who followed the true word of God. The same word that we have today, but we have it in written form, and they followed it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35, we again see that the instruction which the Spirit had Paul write these brethren was for their own profit. Oftentimes when we read the Bible and we see the things that are applied or that we are to apply to ourselves, we look at them and we read them. Perhaps we do not give enough attention to them, but they are for our profit. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. We all need to profit in serving God and doing His will. In order to do that, though, we have to let go of some things. For the businesses to profit, I have to let go of my money. Now, I get something in return. And the key to the whole thing is they think they're giving me a bargain. I think I'm getting a bargain. And I'm willingly giving up something so that I might receive something. We'll find out that service to God is no different. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Verses 24 through 27, we'll see that there is profit in serving God, in doing His will, in attending to the commandments. And on the other side, there's going to be a reward. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Notice what Jesus said first. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, it's not what I want, it's what the Lord wants. That's first. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And then he asks the question, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, that's a very poignant question. A very good question. It is incredible to me at what people will sell their soul for. They don't place a lot of value on that soul. They will sell it for nearly anything. He says, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Some, very little. For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Man has pretty much been the same all along from the beginning. They want the benefit now. Now, we often say that we live in an age of instant gratification. We have instant oatmeal. We have instant grits for those of us in the South. We have instant pudding. We have instant this and we have instant that. Our children want the things that they want, and they want it now. I'm often concerned because the attitude of many young people is that they want what mom and dad worked for 30 years to get, but they want it now. Oh, I'm getting married. I've got to have this big fine home. Well, go ahead and make those big fine payments because somebody's getting profit off of that. But Jesus said, the end, then he shall reward every man according to his works. Therein is the profit. There have been people who have left their service to God because they couldn't see the profit. Why? Because they want it now. I know people who have invested in the stock market. And a few years ago, they had investments. Things turned a little ugly. And what did they do? They jumped ship. They got out. And I've heard several people say, I wish I would have stayed in. Some of them said, I wish I'd have gotten out earlier. And those who got out, most all of them did wish they got out earlier. But the ones who got out at the low point said, I wish I'd have stayed in. There are going to be Christians on the day of judgment that are going to lament the fact that they got out because they're not going to see the profit. What we must do in this life, according to John chapter 12, verses 24 through 26, is that we must die to sin. We're not going to see any profit. Oh, we might be wealthy in this life. We might attain much. But we're not going to see any profit unless we die to sin. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We understand that concept, that premise, except when it applies to us. It's interesting to me how that you can take corn and you can kernels of corn and put it in a jar. Don't necessarily have to seal it up. Keep the moisture away from it. Keep it in a cool place. You can do that for 2 or 3 years. Then throw it in the ground. It's going to produce. The same thing is true with us. We must die so that we might produce, so that we might have that profit. He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. We see this also in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. That there is profit in serving God. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. All too often people get hung up in seeing how great they can be in this life. Who can be the king of the hill, so to speak? The boss, the man in charge. Jesus addressed this among his disciples. You know, they were human. They were men. And being men as such, they wanted to know who was going to be great in the kingdom. Jesus told them who would be great in the kingdom. He says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Let him be your servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. We need to understand that if we want to be great, if we want to profit, if we want to benefit, we need to serve God. Did not Jesus also give us that example as we read verse 28? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, to many people, or some people, the gospel was not and presently is not profitable. According to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, it's because faith was not produced by the word in those that heard it. It's incredible to me when people hear the truth. Some people act as though there's nothing from one ear to the other to stop it. It goes in one ear, keeps on moving through. It's because the word does not produce faith. Notice according to Hebrews chapter 4 and 2 how it is that there is profit in serving God. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And of course, they're not going to have faith unless they hear the word, and unless they apply themselves to it. Faith produced by the word brings about service. And there's where we see the profit. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 35, we see, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Therein we must serve God. We must do his will. There is profit in serving God. There was profit of keeping the ordinances of God. We're going to look at some Old Testament passages. We're also going to look at some New Testament passages to see that there is indeed profit in keeping God's ordinances. In Psalms chapter 9, verses 7 through 11, we see the psalmist write as he was guided by the Spirit. He said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." If a soul is converted, friends, that's profit. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Notice this, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. If you want to be enlightened, there's only one way. Go and read the commandments of God. Apply those commandments properly. Rightly divide the word of truth. And serve God. Keep his commandments. Verse 9 tells us the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. Notice verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You want a profit in this life? Oh, you might not receive the reward in this life, but if you want to profit in this life, the only way to do so is to keep the ordinances of God. In James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, in this general epistle to the church, we see James writing as he was guided by the Spirit to the church. He said, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." How do you do that? "And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." Friends, there is profit in following and keeping the ordinances of God. He goes on to explain it to those who might have missed it in the first part of that passage. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass." For those who have problem with that, understand it's like looking at yourself in a mirror. You see a reflection of yourself. I saw a mirror the other day in a store, and I told Linda, I said, "There's a man in the mirror that just looks just like me." That's how that works. But notice verse 24. When you walk away, you no longer have that image in front of you. "For beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," listen, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." There's profit in keeping the ordinances of God. There's also profit in praying to God, and this is not a sermon on prayer, but suffice it to say that one cannot be a Christian and be so acceptably without praying to God. I'm afraid that there are Christians who don't spend a lot of time in prayer, but friends, there's profit in prayer. Now that's taking into consideration the fact that we pray according to God's will. He's not going to do something separate and apart from His will. He's not going to do something that He has provided for in His Word, except that we follow His Word, we keep His ordinances, and we serve Him. But in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 13, we see that it was written in the law of Moses regarding prayer, and that there was profit in this. He said, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. You want to profit by being a Christian? You have to serve God. You have to keep the ordinances of God, and you need to remain in connection with God through prayer, that we might turn from our iniquities, that we might understand thy truth. Sometimes people have said to me, you know, I don't understand the Bible, and so I pray that God would help me understand. He will. But not presto bingo. Not just because you prayed. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we'll see that the things of God are above that we ask or think. He says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This is talking, I think, about heaven, about that which He has provided for us. And you know, we all have a mental picture of heaven, don't we? Oh, it's been described, the pearly gates and the streets of gold, and all of the wonderful jewels that are used to describe heaven. And the truth of the matter is, not one of us have one speck of understanding of what heaven will be like. But know this, that's the profit that we will receive from being a Christian, serving God, keeping His ordinances, and remaining connected to God in prayer. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, we see the importance of prayer. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. I'm often perplexed by those who say, well, you know, there's something going on. There's a problem, health-wise, otherwise. But I don't want anybody to know about it. Why? Don't you think it's better when more righteous people are praying? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We know also that Jesus taught prayer. He taught it by the things that He said. He taught it by the things that He did. He spent many, many hours communicating with His Father, talking to His Father. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, we find a passage regarding this. The direction, the instruction that He gave to those that would listen to Him regarding His Father and those things which His Father had to give us. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. A lot of people don't realize and understand what's being said there. People have said, you know, I'm searching for the truth, but I can't find it. Are you really seeking it? Because Jesus says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. He says then in verse 9, or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? I'm hungry, Daddy. Here, suck on a rock. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, notice this, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Notice the context that this is in. He's talking about giving to your children. God will give His children those things that He asks so long as they're in accordance to His will. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We're going to close with the idea relative to profit that is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. He tells the Philippian brethren there something that is needed today. You know, there's a lot of anxiety out there about profit. There's a lot of anxiety about things. There's a lot of anxiety about situations. He tells them, be careful for nothing. We can't worry about the things that we have no control over. If we do that, a lot of our anxiety will go away. But he does instruct them how they, as children of God, are to communicate to God. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It is important that we communicate to God and we say to ourselves, well, God knows everything. He knows what's in my mind. Sure he does. But we're commanded, let your request be made known unto God. Notice verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Friends, if we go through this life and we serve God, we go through this life and we keep the ordinances of God, we go through this life and we pray to God, and we have the peace of God within us, we have already profited. But there's more. It's a bonus. And it is to all who will serve Him, who will be faithful to Him, who will become the children of God. You can profit today. How can I profit? You can also have the peace of God if you will become a child of God. And it's not so difficult that you can't do it. It's not so hard to understand. The gospel plan of salvation is simple. Remember, if you're seeking the truth, you'll find the truth. The truth is that God has determined the way in which one becomes a child of God, the way in which one can begin to profit from being His children. We're told that we must hear the word of God in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. The latter part of it is, now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. These folks wanted to hear what God had to say. Romans 10, 17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know also, according to John chapter 8 and verse 24, that we have to believe. Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. We must hear the word of God. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But we must go on beyond that. We must also repent of our sins. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Having heard and believed and repented, then we are ready to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why is this important? When one asks me that question, I remind them, or I bring to their attention, the fact that the very fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the foundation of Christianity. Had Christ not died on Calvary's cross, been put into that grave, and been resurrected from the dead, there would be no Christianity. Therefore, we should gladly confess Him. Romans 10, 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And friend, when you're saved, you become a child of God. And yes, there's profit in that. But what if you've heard, believed, repented, and confessed? Is that all one must do? No. You must be baptized. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, we see that to be the case. Saul had been on the road to Damascus. He was going about persecuting people, and he was on his way to Damascus to bind those who were in opposition to the Jewish law. He was going to take them. He saw the light, metaphorically and physically. And then instruction was given to him. But while he was waiting for the instruction, guess what he was doing? He was praying. Did that save him? Oh, no. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, he was told, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." When he did that, he became a child of God. He then began to profit. However, from the point in which we become a child of God, we must continue to profit. In business, when people open their business, spend a lot of money to get it started, and they have a banner first year, they sit back and they enjoy. And the second year comes and they sit back and they enjoy. And the third year comes and they're working for somebody else. The same thing is true relative to Christianity. What do I mean by that? Well, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we're told what it takes to continue to remain profitable as a child of God. "Be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Jesus said it best when he said, "No man can serve two masters." Who are you going to serve today? And are you going to profit therefrom? And the beauty of this whole thing is, that same law applies to absolutely every person in this room. But each and every individual can make the choice. What's your choice? You're going to profit or not? Christians, you may have allowed sin to enter into your life. If so, you have lost the peace of God. And that's because you are lost. You can regain it this day through repentance and prayer. We taught this in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." I will tell you that if there's no profit, there is loss. Make sure today that you have profit of being a Christian. If you need to respond, I want you to do so as together we stand and sing the invitation song.